And if you open your Bible to Luke chapter 19, Luke is the only gospel writer that tells us about Zacchaeus. Have you ever wondered why? Why didn't Matthew tell us about Zacchaeus? Why didn't Mark tell us about Zacchaeus? Why didn't John tell us about Zacchaeus? You know what the answer to that is? We don't know. But Luke tells us this story. And what if this little story had been left out of the Bible? It is a story that has always attracted the attention of children. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. We know about Zacchaeus. We've heard about him all of our lives. But it's not only a story that attracts the attention of children, it's a story that speaks to the heart of adults like you and me, especially sometimes the hearts of men who find themselves chasing emptiness, because that's exactly what Zacchaeus was doing. He was chasing emptiness. And you might be chasing emptiness as well. As a matter of fact, you might have been chasing emptiness all your life. Luke chapter 19, beginning to read in verse 1. He, that's Jesus, entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector. And he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." So Zacchaeus was a man who had something missing in his life. How do we know that? Well, as I said to you before, we know that because he'd been chasing emptiness his whole life. He had been pursuing satisfaction in his life outside of a personal relationship with God. And his passion was money and wealth. You might be pursuing a passion of your own. So do you have a passion which you pursue to bring you happiness? Is that passion serving as a substitute for God? There'll be a lot of disappointed people in this country today because a lot of people are chasing emptiness. They're either chasing emptiness on the side of the New England Patriots, or they're chasing emptiness on the side of the Los Angeles Rams. And some of us who are chasing emptiness on the side of the New Orleans Saints know what that emptiness feels like. Or the University of Alabama. Sometimes you have a passion that consumes you, that fills your life, that sort of is a little idol that sits in the middle of your heart, something that is the focus of your life, the passion of your heart. So, you know what the Bible says? In the book of Jeremiah, God spoke through Jeremiah and he said, "What injustice," this is Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 5, "What injustice did your fathers find in me that they walked after emptiness and became empty?" So Zacchaeus was a Jew by birth, but his heart was far from God. And having forsaken God, at least temporarily in his life, he was chasing emptiness. And by chasing emptiness, I mean pursuing something as a substitute for God. He was chasing something to satisfy that emptiness that is inside of all of us until we pursue a meaningful relationship with God. Somebody said a long time ago, there's a God-shaped hole in your heart that can only be filled with God. And if you seek to fill that spot with something other than God, it's going to leave you empty. It's going to leave you searching. What happens when we chase emptiness? The Bible says if we walk after emptiness, we become empty. So he's just one of the many characters who is an example of what Jeremiah said. The woman at the well had been chasing emptiness in her life through relationship after relationship, and her relationships left her empty. She was thirsty, empty. She had walked after emptiness, and when Jesus met her, she was continuing to pursue emptiness, and she was an empty woman. Jesus met a rich young man who he called to go sell all that he had and follow him. But he went away sorrowful because he still thought that wealth could fill the hole in his life that only Jesus could fill. And as a result, I'm sure he became more and more empty. Maybe that's what you've been doing. You've been looking for something to fill that void inside you that can only be filled with God, and it's just not working for you. So what are you going to do, and when are you going to change? The second thing I want you to observe about Zacchaeus is Zacchaeus was not what God wanted him to be. You say, well, we know that in the story. I mean, that's plain to see. But there's something else that you don't see in the story. There was an inconsistency in Zacchaeus' life between the man he was supposed to be, he appeared to be, and the man he was on the inside. Now, let me suggest to you that the reason that we might assume that is because while Zacchaeus might have been a very common name in the Old Testament world and in the New Testament world of Jesus' day, names in the Bible always mean something. Anybody know what Zacchaeus' name means? Anybody? You know what his name means? Pure. That's what that word means. His name meant pure. Was Zacchaeus pure? No, he wasn't pure. There was an inconsistency in his name and in his character. There's an inconsistency in the life of some people here today. Your name is Christian, but there's an inconsistency in your life because that name ought to carry with it the characteristic of being pure. Are you pure? There's an inconsistency in your life, just like there was an inconsistency in Zacchaeus' life. And you know what? No one knew this better than Zacchaeus himself. No one knows the inconsistencies in your life better than you do. Like Zacchaeus, you get up every morning and you have to face the person in the mirror. You look up in the mirror and you say, I know you. And you're not the people that the people in Loosedale know. You're not the person that your family knows. There's an inconsistency between who you ought to be and who you are. You might be a man who is known to men by one name, but in your heart, you know that you're something different altogether because you've been chasing emptiness and you've become empty and become something other than what God wants you to be. So are you the person God wants you to be, or have you been pursuing passions and priorities that have left you empty? So apparently Zacchaeus was very successful at his job. He was promoted to chief tax collector, and he was very rich. The Bible tells us that. But something was missing in his life, something that he hoped he'd find that day as he climbed up that sycamore tree. So the other thing that we can see about Zacchaeus, we can observe about him through the story, is that Zacchaeus was successful, but he was empty. Success always comes at a price, doesn't it? You have to sacrifice something to be successful. You have to sacrifice something to be a successful football player. Think about those guys that are playing in the Super Bowl today and all the time and all the energy. If a person is an Olympic athlete, they have to sacrifice huge amounts of time. And while other kids are outside playing and having a good time, they're working hard, training their bodies, working at their skill, trying to be a better athlete. You have to sacrifice something. And if you make a lot of money, you have to sacrifice something, don't you? If you get an education, you have to sacrifice something. We have to be careful about pursuing success because you can sacrifice everything on the altar of success. One of the things that Zacchaeus sacrificed was his integrity. He was no longer a person of integrity. I wonder if his pursuit of success had hurt his family. People sacrifice their family on the altar of success. Then one day they wake up and realize that for all they have and for all that they've achieved, they just aren't happy. They spend years walking after emptiness and then wake up one day devastatingly empty. They don't have a relationship with God. They don't have a relationship with their wife. They don't have a relationship with their children. They are empty. Nobody in that town was more successful than Zacchaeus or more miserable. That emptiness is what prompted Zacchaeus to climb up that sycamore tree in an effort to see Jesus. There were things that were broken in his life. And when there are things that are broken in your life, mark it down. You already know it before I tell you. When there are things broken in your life, there will be things that are broken in the lives of people that are around you. And as I read this story, I can't help but wonder if Zacchaeus was up that sycamore tree not only because things were broken in his life, but because things were broken at home. Most men get really desperate when they realize they're about to lose their family. Is that what got Zacchaeus away from his tax table and up that sycamore tree? Well, that might have been one of the things. We don't know all about that story, but we do know there was an inconsistency between his name and his character. He wasn't who he was supposed to be. That's old Zacchaeus. Pure. The least pure man in town. Everybody knew what he was and what he wasn't. He had everything but happiness. He was empty and he was miserable. And a man like that is going to have more than a little broken at home. What is going on behind the closed doors of your home? Is it well, or are there things that are broken? If there is brokenness in your home or in your family, then you need to shimmy up the sycamore tree with Zacchaeus and start looking for Jesus. And if we could clear the air today and be honest with one another, we discover that there is a measure of emptiness and brokenness in all of our lives, because all of us from time to time are looking for something to fill our emptiness other than the Lord Jesus. You know, it's also probable, pretty sure, that Zacchaeus was unpopular. You know any IRS agents that you would like to be friends with? We don't like tax, do we? None of us like tax. That's just a bad part of life. It's not that they're bad people. People had to pay tax to Zacchaeus, but not only did they have to pay tax, they had to pay too much tax because he was stealing from them, and they all knew it. Not only so, but by the fact that he worked for the Roman government, he would have been considered a traitor who defrauded his own people for his personal benefit. This was part of the inconsistency between his name and character. There goes old Pure over there, the nastiest, this most dishonest fellow in town. He sacrificed his character, his integrity, and his purity, and no telling what else, while he chased emptiness. And what happened? He became empty. And if he was a castaway among his people, Zacchaeus might have thought himself to be a castaway to God. You ever feel that way? I had a man sit in my office this week, and he said to me, "I'm beginning to wonder if maybe God's forgotten about me. I'm beginning to wonder if maybe my life is so out of step with God that maybe he doesn't want to use me anymore." It was a pastor who got discouraged and felt that way. Anybody can begin to feel that way, especially when there are inconsistencies in our life. We look in the mirror and we think, "I'm not the man I'm supposed to be. I'm not the man that people think I am. And God knows I'm not. And maybe God doesn't love me." Well, I don't know exactly what Zacchaeus was thinking when he climbed up that sycamore tree, but I know this: if you're thinking that, You can read the story of the prodigal son in the New Testament and find that man who his father knew what he wasn't, and he also knew what he was. He knew that he had gone astray. He knew that he was dirty and empty, and the boy decided to come home, the story of the prodigal son. And when he came home, his father was waiting with open arms. That's what Zacchaeus found that day as he climbed up that sycamore tree. He not only found that he was looking for Jesus, he found out that Jesus was looking for him. Did you know that Jesus is looking for you? If this story describes you to a T, if everything I have said, if you can say today, I'm walking in Zacchaeus' shoes, I am that person, then be glad to know that Jesus is looking for you. In verse 3, the Bible says, Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was of small stature. But Jesus knew who he was, and he called him by name. He knew where he was. He looked up the very moment he passed under that tree. Jesus knew why he was there, and Jesus knew what he desperately needed. He said to Zacchaeus, today, Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house. So I ask you, does Jesus know your name? Does he know where you are? Is he at this very moment calling out to you? Does he know the desperate need that exists in your life? Does he know what needs to be done? Does he know what is broken? Does he know how to fix it? Yes, he does. And so today, you and Jesus, just like you, like Zacchaeus and Jesus, you're at the same place and at the same time, and he's looking for you. Zacchaeus had a limited opportunity. That's the next point we want to make about Zacchaeus. Because you'll notice that one of the things that Jesus told Zacchaeus to do was to hurry. He said, hurry, hurry, Zacchaeus. You know why he told him to hurry? Because opportunities with God are time sensitive. What was Jesus doing? He was passing by. He was passing through. And God may be passing by today in this service. God may be moving, speaking to you. So when God speaks to you, you need to act without delay. In this case, Jesus was on his way to the cross. This was Zacchaeus' only opportunity to have an encounter with Jesus. It was his only chance. It was his last chance in that city, at that spot, at that time. Maybe you're up a sycamore tree today. You slipped in the church because you're desperately empty. And this morning it seems as if to you, God knew you would be here. He knew what's going on in your life. And he brought you here so that he could meet that need. And he says to you, as he said to Zacchaeus, hurry. What happened up in that sycamore tree? Well, Zacchaeus decided to follow Jesus. Didn't take him very long, did it? He decided that all he'd been chasing was nothing but emptiness. And he decided that he didn't want to be empty anymore. So, verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And, of course, they all saw it and began to grumble and said, Jesus is going to the home of a sinner. He's going to the home of a bad person. And Zacchaeus said, Lord, if I have defrauded anybody of anything, and in the Bible, the ifs are conditional ifs in the Greek language, and they all expect an answer, sometimes negative, sometimes positive. This one says, if I have defrauded anyone, and it's the kind of if that says, if I have, and I have. And Lord, you know I have. And I got to pay it back. Zacchaeus was a changed man. Now, I want to ask you a question. What's the difference between being lost and being empty? Well, emptiness can be a symptom of a greater problem. Emptiness, if you're empty today, it can be a symptom of not knowing God. That was the case in Zacchaeus' life. He was a Jew by birth, a descendant of Abraham, but he wasn't a true son of Abraham until he met Jesus that day, and Jesus changed his life. Of course, believers can make the tragic mistake of chasing after emptiness, and in so doing, we become empty. And in that case, your emptiness is a symptom of having a broken relationship with God, a broken relationship that needs to be renewed. Is it so with you? In either case, Jesus' word to you is the same as his word to Zacchaeus. You need to hurry, because this opportunity is time sensitive. You're in the right place at the right time, and Jesus is here, and he's spoken to you. What does Jesus want to do? Last question, last word. What does Jesus want to do in your heart and your home? Let's pray. Lord, we're here today to look at your word and to hear from you. And Lord, I believe that we have heard from you in this service. Lord, you arranged the service so that we would know this story of Zacchaeus, whether we're a child or an adult. And Lord, we understand it so well. We understand what it's like to be one person on the outside and another person on the inside. To be called by the name Christian and yet to have that glaring inconsistency or a series of inconsistencies in our life. We know what it's like to walk after emptiness and become empty. We know what it's like to have brokenness in our hearts and in our homes. Lord, let us know what it's like to have an encounter with you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we sing?